Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today.
If you suffer from dry, scratchy, irritated eyes, the problem may actually stem from your eyelids. Cleansing eyelids daily is essential for maintaining healthy eyes, which is why doctors recommend OcuSoft Lid Scrub Allergy Eyelid Cleanser. New OcuSoft Lid Scrub Allergy removes oil, pollen, and other contaminants from your eyelids to effectively reduce redness, irritation, and itching caused by seasonal allergies. These pre-moistened wipes are easy to use, on the go, or at home. Simply wipe and leave on. As the industry standard of care, OcuSoft has a full line of eyelid cleansers for various conditions. Available through eye care professionals, most retail outlets, and Amazon.com. Visit OcuSoft.com for more details.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. April Jasper Show. And we are here again with Allison Jasper Johnson to talk about all things, well, anything you come up with, honestly.
Yes.
So, Ali, as you may have heard from our last episode that we did together, she's bringing me questions from students at Nova Southeastern University, where she's going to optometry school.
Yep.
And I love that. And as I said last time, Allison, I'm always curious about the reason behind the question. So one day we'll have an actual live meeting where we're all going to get together and you guys are going to tell me what the background is for all these. But anyway, we're excited that we get to bring these answers to you. And I'm not saying I have all the answers, but what I would love to be able to do is kind of just share with you from my heart. And maybe it helps. Maybe it helps you to be encouraged. You're in a good place. You're doing great things. All of you students out there, we're so glad you are, because we need more optometrists. All right. So that's my message, my preaching for the day. Now let's move on to Allie. What is the next question?
Okay. So next question I have, what was a difficult case that you were given or was presented in your office, and how did you deal with it? On the fly, like, how did you just adjust and figure out what to do and know that that was how you were supposed to do it?
Yeah. Do you think that students are nervous about the unexpected? Do you think maybe that's why this question comes up?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I know it's because we get taught all of these different things about all these different diseases and all of these different conditions and all this different stuff. And we know that, I mean, it's the possibility of seeing specifically worst case scenarios, like picture perfect textbook situations of it is not really going to happen in clinic, most likely. It very rarely happens. So I think it's like, okay, am I going to be able to know when I get into practice after I graduate, is this is what this is, this is what that one is, this is what this looks like, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to figure this out? And I think it's just like kind of stresses me out. So I'm like, oh, I have to know all of this. I actually have to know all of this. Okay, great.
Right. Well, it's early too for you guys. I mean, your first year, so it's way early for you to have any feeling like you're going to have it all figured out. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, and the question is good, because I will tell you, there are still things that happen in the practice that are unexpected. You know, when you think about the things that can happen in the practice, you are correct. Things can go awry. I have a friend who had a car drive through the front of their office. So that happened.
Okay.
And you hear about these things and you just go, okay, that wasn't something I was taught in optometry school.
Definitely not.
So first of all, just know that the process is working for you guys. You have amazing teachers. I'm going to say it again. Just do what they tell you to do.
Right.
And try to think. Have some common sense in what you're doing. And then don't be afraid to ask for help. I love the fact that in my residency, I had other doctors there. I could ask them for help. I had other residents that I could talk to. And I will admit, the first day in practice by myself was a little stressful. I had a patient come in with a chemical injury. And I knew what to do. I had been taking care of these patients at the VA. I did this at my internships. Mm-hmm. I knew what to do, but I still had panic mode. Like when you break out in a sweat and you go, I don't know. What am I going to do first?
Oh my gosh.
I even called my residency director
and
I said, Scotty, I have a patient coming in. This is what's going on. And he says, April, you got this. So
you'll be fine.
Yeah, it's normal to be a little bit concerned when you are just right out of school and just starting to see these patients. So reach out for help if you need help. And that sometimes is just a matter of calming you down. Have good resources. So now you guys have digital resources. It's incredible. The fact that you can look up stuff online
literally
and get help that way is absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That was not something that was a thing in my day. But I will tell you, with all the resources you have, you are correct. You have to be ready for the unexpected. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is just to stay calm and go back to the basics. What do I do first? First, I'm going to ask a history.
Right.
First, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to listen. That's mm-hmm. important, because listening will get you everywhere.
Right.
A lot of doctors ask, but they never really listen. Okay. They're already thinking about what they're going to do next, which is not a good thing. You need to mm-hmm. listen so you can hear what happened. Did you actually feel a piece of metal go in your eye, or do you just think it did? Okay. You know, I mean, things like that. I'll tell you one of the patients that came in. I've got a couple that come to mind when you ask me that. But one patient that came in, he came in, had been working outside. He does landscaping. His wife brought him in. And I will tell you, when someone else brings a patient to you, whether it's a spouse or a friend, it's always a bigger emergency in my mind. Okay. I know right away to pay special attention, because that means this person has been bothered, was either afraid to come in or was resistant, but somebody else in their life says, no, you need to get in there. This is a big deal.
I guess I'm just curious, why would they be resistant in that kind of case?
You know, sometimes it's about the money. Sometimes patients don't want to see a doctor because they don't want to have to pay. Okay. Sometimes they don't want to, their family thinks they're being a baby. You know, sometimes they're just busy. There's all kinds of reasons. Over the years, you learn to just watch for those things that you don't get taught in school, which are all of those external things. Mm-hmm. All right. So now this patient comes in with his wife and he sits down in the chair, and I ask him what's going on in his history. So when he called to make the appointment, it was, I feel like something's maybe in my eye.
Okay.
Now, why would he say that, not knowing? Well, because a lot of times patients, they just, that's what they remember. They've had that happen before. So in his case, he's had stuff in his eye before. So he thinks that must be what it is.
Okay.
Okay. So he's in the chair.
Yeah.
And his wife is there with him. And I said, so tell me what's going on. What is your concern? What happened? And he says, well, I was doing yard work. I don't remember anything going in my eye, but it must be, because now I just feel really uncomfortable. My eye's bothering me. It hurts. And I said, okay.
Okay.
So first thing you do is, and you can walk through your process. You take a good history, check their vision, never do anything without checking vision. His vision was fabulous.
Okay.
He had no medical problems, everything about him. And he's young. So he's a young guy in great health. And I'm thinking, okay. So I look at his eye, and this is when you start to get a little bit panicked, I think, is when it sounds like, and the patient led me down this road, that he should have something in his eye, because he said it hurts a little bit. He's not sure exactly when it started, but maybe a week ago. It feels like it's getting worse. There must be something in there. He must have said that to me, Allison, three times.
We are thrilled to have CooperVision as a sponsor of the Dr. April Jasper Show. CooperVision is a global leader in contact lenses. What I love about CooperVision is their dedication to our patients, as evidenced by CooperVision's MySight One Day, the first and only FDA-approved soft contact lens proven to slow the progression of myopia in children aged 8 to 12 at the initiation of treatment.
Okay, so now it's definitely in your head. So now you're going to look for something in the eye.
Something's in his eye, must be.
Okay.
So we go through the exam. I'm looking at his eye. I flip his lid. I put fluorescein in. I even rinse his eye. But we dilate him too.
Okay.
And I think that's what's really, really important is, again, I'm going to go back to, what did your teachers teach you? They taught you to be complete and thorough and do everything.
Okay.
So we put drops in to dilate him. And there could be those out there who say, that are listening, oh, I don't dilate patients that come in saying something's in their eye.
Right.
But I didn't find a reason for him to feel like something was in his eye. So we're going to keep going down this path of figuring it out. And even if I would have found something, the big debate is, should he still be dilated? And the answer is yes, because there could be something that got in his eye and went all the way through And now there's a particle in the back of the eye, and you won't know that if you don't go through that process.
So you didn't find anything on the surface. There was nothing on the surface.
Nothing on the surface. Oh, but,
my gosh. Okay.
And you're going to learn this mm-hmm. in school as well. The next thing you want to do is you want to make sure. So you check the very front of the eye. The next part of the eye you're going to look at is the anterior
right.
chamber.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so as he's dilating, we're doing more tests. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm talking to him. Most of the time, what'll happen is you'll do all your preliminary tests. You'll do all your anterior segment evaluation. You put the drops in, and you'll either leave them in the room, depending on the clinic setting, or they go out and wait while you see another patient.
Right.
So we are taking a look at him. I look at his anterior segment. We're looking at the I'm trying to make sure I say the word so everybody understands. You're looking to see if he has any iritis.
Okay.
So yep. The way to make sure that you do that well is the room has to be dark.
Okay.
Well, in my day, that was easy because having a dark room was not challenged by monitors, TV screens, all the fancy equipment we have today.
Wow, never would have thought of that. Oh my yeah. gosh. Okay.
So now not only do you have to turn off the lights, but you have to turn off the monitor. You have to turn off the TV screen or the eye chart that might be on.
Oh my word.
Because you need complete dark to be able to see if there's any anterior chamber inflammation right. or reaction. Mm-hmm. So I did that and I thought, I think I see a little bit of anterior chamber reaction. I see cells. I don't see any flare, but I see cells. And you guys will follow this once you go through more classes. You'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now I think I see something, but it's so faint. I don't know for sure. I'm pretty sure.
Oh my gosh.
So we dilate him. Pressure's fine. We put drops in. We dilate him. He comes back in. And if I had a picture that I could show you, and I will, if you come see this in actual presentation sometime when I show you the slides of all of it, I have pictures of it. We look at the very back of his eye. So okay. The first look you get, the mm-hmm. optic nerve, the macula,
right,
looks fine. Nothing. Now okay. We keep going mm-hmm. because we dilated him. We're checking the peripheral retina. And as soon as we start to move out into the periphery to look at the peripheral retina,
mm-hmm.
I can see there we've got a problem. So now I see what looks to a new student as white spots. I see blood. I see inflammation. But it's way out in the periphery. I would have never seen it, Allison, if I hadn't dilated this patient's eye.
Oh, so my gosh.
Now I see that. And here we get to the difficult situation. I don't know what it is.
Oh.
I look at it. I know what it is, but I don't know what it means he has. And that's the thing to be clear with everything I say is there are going to be times when you don't have a diagnosis, but you know what you see. So you right. know you okay. see hemorrhages, you know you see the different things that you're seeing on the retina. You just don't know what that diagnosis is because to your point, Allie, you may never have been taught that in school or you didn't have that patient come in school.
Right.
So now what do you do? Well, today it'll be a lot easier because what you guys will do is you'll have a way that you can send those images in a protected way to a retina specialist and say, what do you think? What should I do?
Right.
In my day, I picked up the phone. I talked to them. I told them what I saw and we both agreed the patient needed to be seen immediately.
Okay.
So I send the patient to a retina specialist who saw him immediately. It turns out what he had was acute retinal necrosis. Thank goodness we put the drops in and dilated him gosh. Because it affects the peripheral retina first, mm-hmm. but then it moves to the central retina and likely he would have lost his eye completely. He could have gone blind most of the time they do in that eye. And then it can appear in the other eye.
Oh my gosh.
It's caused by the herpes virus, which we all know lives in 95% of humans alive.
Right. Yep.
And it lays dormant and it can appear as some people get a fever blister. Some people can get spots in the eye, sores mm-hmm. in the eye, and some people can get retinal disease.
Oh my gosh.
So I had never seen it before. I've never seen it since. Likely most of you won't either. It's not common. And there's a phrase we use all the time. I wrote an article that I use that same phrase. It's mm-hmm. never rare when it's in your chair.
Yep. They say that all the time in lecture. Yep. They say it in lecture, especially in microbiology class. Yeah. They said that all the time.
And so, you know, I think the most important part of that story is that I did not know exactly what the diagnosis was, but right. neither did the retina specialist that saw him
right.
until they did the necessary test to determine what it was. But what I did know is I wasn't the one that was going to figure it out.
Oh, okay.
And I needed to have people I could send them to. So that's part of my secret. And it's not a secret. You all are going to have the same secret. You've got to have friends and colleagues in your corner that you can call
mm-hmm.
You have to know when to call them, and don't try to be that person who thinks they know it all.
Right.
And you don't need to call a friend.
Okay.
Because there's no shame in it. There's no harm in it. And it will make you sleep better at night. And after 30 years of being in practice, you'll be so glad you have that group of people that you can reach out to that will help you. And just know that when you get out of school, I'll be there. I'll be there for anyone. Anyone who picks up the phone and calls me, I answer. And I help them where I can. But you'll all get your circle of doctors and friends that you can reach out to that will help you. That's awesome. So what was the most scary part of that story?
Just the fact that if you hadn't done the dilation,
yeah,
you wouldn't have seen it.
Right.
So he would have just gone walking home and
gone blind.
Gone. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
The chances are very good. He would have gone blind. And I'm another thing I'll tell you guys right now, my bad days in the office are not because of the fact that I didn't get lunch or I didn't get breakfast. Mm-hmm. A bad day in the office for me is a day when I feel like I didn't do my best for my patients.
Right.
So a bad day in the office is not the same as what you might think. It's not because it was busy. It's not because we didn't make enough money. If I have a bad day in the office, a bad day is that day when I feel like I didn't do my best work and I didn't do a good job for a patient, and I will lose sleep over that. So
she does.
Just know that you won't always know the answer, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You'll know most of them. You'll know 99% of the answers, and the ones you don't know, you'll reach out to a friend, a colleague, someone who's going to help you know that next step to take. So don't even worry about that now. You'll figure it all out as your years go by and you just keep learning. Every day you learn something new.
Awesome. Well, perfect.
Loving it?
Yes. This has been awesome.
Don't worry about it. Just follow the process. Trust your teachers. Trust that whole learning process. It's going to work out for you just perfect.
All righty.
All right. So we're so glad you guys stayed and listened. We hope that some of the answers are helpful. We hope you'll send us more questions. And we look forward to the next moment we get to spend with you. Thank you, Allie.
Thank you, Mom.
Your eyes and your vision are under attack. Damaging blue light from the sun, your phone, your computer, your tablet, even light bulbs and car headlights is constantly bombarding you. The good news is our eyes actually already have a line of defense to counter the effects of blue light. This defense is made up of three pigments called carotenoids. MacuHealth with Micromycel, the only supplement with the exclusive patent on all three macular carotenoids and Micromycel technology.